There are a bunch of nice traditional words that go along with Christmas, words we like to see on Christmas cards and decorations, words like joy, hope, peace, merry, happy, and blessed. Now, blessed isn't probably the highest in the list, though there are a number of high-quality made-for-TV movies called Christmas Blessing. Now, sadly, I haven't seen any of them. Maybe you have, and you've been blessed by watching these movies. But reading the three-sentence summary on the IMDb, it seems that what a Christmas blessing is finding love. Either you're a widower or you've been career-focused, and allegedly falling in love is the Christmas blessing. Maybe you've been blessed on a Christmas when you get the gift you've longed for, at least one that's not awkward or embarrassing. Today we're going to look to Mary to see what it really means to be blessed at Christmas. Now, as I said, I haven't seen any of those Christmas movies, but you don't have to actually watch them to know the plot. The way blessing is understood in these movies, it's when life is okay, but it's not great. Being blessed is when life moves from okay to great. It's when the successful big city lady goes to her hometown and finally finds love. But in the Bible, the reason we need blessing, it's not because things are good but we want them to be great. The reason we need blessing is because due to sin, humanity is under the curse of God's judgment. At almost the start of the Bible, we're told the sad story of humanity's rejection of God. God generously made the world, but instead of enjoying all the good things he'd given, instead of enjoying all of the yes that God gave humanity, we had to do the one no. We turned everything on its head. Instead of joyfully living God's way, we chose to live our own way. And in the third chapter of the Bible, Genesis 3, there's a word that's repeated, cursed. Where there was once joy and blessing, because of disobedience and sin, there's now pain and curse. And this is a reality we all feel. Sorry that on Christmas Day we have to start with a downer, but it's true, isn't it? Many of us today will feel the empty place at the Christmas table, either vacant because of broken relationships, or empty because of death. We feel the reality of the curse of sin when we hear of places spending yet another Christmas under the terror of war. The Bible says it's our broken relationship with God, our disobedience and sin, because we don't love and honour God as we should, then we don't love and honour people and love and respect people made in his image. The broken relationships we have with each other are part of life in a world cursed by sin. And death is the ultimate end to that relationship. But more than that, the Bible says death is a curse. It's God's punishment for sin, which is why we desperately need blessing. It's not that life is good and we want it to be great. It's that because of sin, we actually live under God's curse and we need his blessing. I want you to have a look in that part of the Bible that's printed on the inside of your bulletins, the part Anita read for us earlier. Mary has just shown up at her relative Elizabeth's place. And three times, Elizabeth says that Mary or her child is blessed three times. Why does Elizabeth say Mary is blessed? It could be because Mary is pregnant. We haven't read this part of Luke's record today, but he starts his biography of Jesus by telling us about Elizabeth and Zechariah. Strange way to start the story of Jesus by telling us about, well, it's not even about his parents and grandparents, it's some other relatives, Elizabeth and Zechariah. And their story, as we pick up the beginning of Luke's record, is one of pain and grief. They're an elderly couple, married for many years, and yet they've been unable to have children. Their life is scarred by the curse brought about by sin. Not that their empty arms are because of something they did, but it's just part of life in a world cursed by sin. Their deep sadness is something many of us will know too. But amazingly, as we read in sentence number 41, in her old age, Elizabeth is now pregnant. We heard it earlier. She's about 6 months pregnant. This is a miracle. And like with Mary, a miracle which was announced by an angel. An angel appeared to Zechariah declaring he and Elizabeth would have a son. Now, it's a different type of miracle from Mary's child. Elizabeth's son is conceived in the normal way of things. The miracle is they've been infertile for decades and now are beyond childbearing years. It's a different kind of miracle, but nevertheless a miracle. But Elizabeth doesn't say that Mary is blessed because, like her, she is now with child. In fact, there are many reasons why this pregnancy at times may not feel like a blessing. Well, there's the normal experience of growing a person in the womb. I don't know it firsthand, but I see that it's not always fun. But even more for Mary, she is unwed, a virgin. Matthew's record of Jesus' life, which we read on Sunday, Matthew tells us Mary is engaged to Joseph, and when Joseph sees Mary starting the show, understandably he plans to call off the engagement. And Matthew tells us it requires angelic intervention to stop Matthew breaking off the engagement. For Mary in ancient Nazareth, at times she would not have felt blessed. She may well have faced shame and exclusion. So why in this difficult and potentially scandalous situation, why does Elizabeth say Mary is blessed? It's because the moment Mary pokes her head through the door, the moment she announces her arrival, hello, the moment she does that, the baby, the unborn baby growing inside Elizabeth starts practicing pogo sticks or doing star jumps in the womb. So look what the Bible says, starting at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And under the inspiration of the Spirit, Elizabeth rightly interprets this bouncing around inside her as great joy. In sentence 44, she says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." It wasn't because of something she ate. Elizabeth's unborn son, the one who will be called John and grow up to be known as John the Baptizer, he is jumping for joy because of Mary's arrival, or rather, because of the arrival of Jesus who's developing inside her. But why is John excited about Jesus? Well, we heard it in our first Bible reading. It's what the angel said to Mary. Mary was told the child would be God's promised forever king. Have a listen again. The angel said to Mary, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This promise goes back 1,000 years. A millennium before, God made a promise to Israel's second king. God promised King David an eternal kingdom, that one of his sons would be a forever king. And Mary is told, it's happening now. Your son, the one who's just this little big in your womb, he is going to be a forever king. In a world suffering because we've rejected God and rejected his rule, Mary's child is God's announcement that God has not rejected us. We may have rejected God, but God hasn't rejected us. He is sending his forever king for his people. And more than this, this child will be called the Holy Son of God. The angel continues, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Sometimes in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, sometimes Israel's kings are spoken of in very elevated language. They're called Son of God. Son of God can be another way of saying God's king. But Luke gives us reason to think there's more going on with this king. Yes, Mary is a normal young Jewish lady, and she's going to conceive a child. But the conception will not involve a husband, but the Holy Spirit. The miraculous conception gives full meaning to the angel's words. The child is Son of the Most High, Son of God, in the full meaning of those words. And Elizabeth, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declares the same thing. She says, Mary is the mother of her Lord. Again, Lord could mean king or master, but in the context of these opening chapters of Luke's biography, again and again the word Lord means none other than the eternal God. Elizabeth says that her Lord, God the Son, the eternal Son, is now inhabiting and growing in Mary's womb. Have a look at sentence 43. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? There's something here that we often assume, but it should make us stop and gasp. Elizabeth and Mary, like everyone else, have sinned. The situation is set up in those opening pages of the Bible. It's a situation we're all born into. We live in a world impacted by the curse of sin, not only the brokenness around us, but the brokenness within. No one lives God's way. And we know this because we've all done things to other people and to hurt them and to damage the world God made. Our inability to perfectly love other people or care for the world shows we do not love and worship God the way we should. And the incredible thing is what Elizabeth says, that God has come near. At that point in time, inhabiting Mary's womb, God is showing favor by coming into her home in Mary's womb. As sinners, the coming of God should bring fear. But the Bible says God overflows with mercy and grace. And so for those who receive him, his coming doesn't mean fear, but favor. This is what we heard from the angels speaking to the shepherds in that last Bible reading. We heard Malcolm read that the angel appears to the shepherds and announces the birth of their king and saviour. The angel said, today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. It's the same as the word Christ. It means king. He is the Messiah, the Lord. If the angel had only said, he is the Lord, that might not have been a blessing. Sin means we have rebelled against the king. We deserve his punishment. But in love, God the Son comes as Savior to rescue us from the punishment we deserve. The eternal Son of God entered into humanity. He was conceived within Mary's womb so he could be Messiah, God's promised forever king. And he became human so he could be Savior, rescuing his people from sin and death and bringing us to God. And this is why Elizabeth says Mary and her unborn son are blessed. Mary is blessed because she is the only person, the only woman in all humanity to carry and birth God the Son. God the Son who has come to be king and to bring God's saving grace. So read again with me from sentence 42. In a loud voice, she, Elizabeth, exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Earlier I said, Elizabeth says the word blessed three times. Sentence 42, Mary is blessed, her unborn son is blessed. Verse 45, sentence 45, Mary again is blessed. What we don't see in our English Bibles is there are two different words used in the original. The word Elizabeth says in sentence 42 means something like, favor has been given to you by God. Mary and your unborn child, you have been given a special role, special status by God. You are blessed. In the third time, sentence 45, Elizabeth uses a different word. It means more like, this is the good life. This is how to flourish in the world. In English, they're both translated as blessed, and it's a fair enough translation, but the difference is fairly subtle, but it's there. In the final sentence, Elizabeth says to Mary, she says, Mary, you are blessed, you flourish in this world and in the next because you've believed God's promises. So have a look, sentence 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. The blessings in sentence 42, they're blessings only Mary and Jesus can have. No one else will give birth to God's Saviour King. No one else will be God with us, the Messiah, the Saviour. But sentence 45, that's blessing that anyone can get on board with. Now, you don't actually need to know there are different words in the original language to get this. The context communicates the same truth. If Mary is blessed for believing God's promises, so will anyone who follows her example and trusts in God's promises. And this is God's invitation to you this Christmas, to be blessed by receiving and trusting God's promises. It's a better blessing than the cheesy Christmas straight-to-streaming movies, the blessing that they hold out. It's better because it lasts forever. Those movies, there's always going to be a sequel because there's more money to be made there. But this blessing lasts forever. The blessing that comes from trusting God's promises. And what are those promises? They're the promises of who Jesus is. The promise that, as the angel said to Mary, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the eternal King, a King who calls us to join his kingdom, to follow him, to obey his words and his teaching. And it's the promise that Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus is born to rescue people from sin and death and to bring us to God. He came to bring blessing that overwhelms the curse brought by sin. Jesus offers salvation, forgiveness, and new life for anyone who trusts in him. This is the promise that Mary believed, and believing this promise is how you can be blessed like Mary. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for blessing us by sending your Son, our Lord Jesus, as our King and Saviour. Help us see the brokenness caused by our sin, that we live in a world that is cursed because of our rebellion against you. May we know your blessing, as like Mary, we trust your promises as they're fulfilled in Jesus. Amen.